And John was pretty much organizing this whole thing because he wanted to speak to someone about what it was like being outside of the planet in heaven, or what, you know, there's a lot to be said about heaven, but just to be out of the body and to be learning and growing still, that life goes on and there's a whole other, much bigger world out there than just on the planet. And so I had that dream. Soon after that, I had another dream about him when I returned to the Netherlands. That was my home at the time. And in this dream, I saw John in the ground, in the earth, like in a hole in the ground. And I helped him to put on a pair of my, I don't know what you call them now, denim pants, Levi's. I was helping him to put on this pair of pants that belonged to me. And when I woke up from the dream, I was thinking, oh my God, does this mean I'm supposed to help give him substance in the physical world? Because kind of, you know, they're my pants and I'm helping put them on. There was nothing intimate about it, whatever. It was more like helping to dress a child. And from that time on, then I started to feel his presence, but I was very skeptical because, you know, a deceased beetle is not someone you want to mess around with in terms of speaking out, oh yeah, I've been talking to John Lennon, you know, because, you know, it's even worse now than it was in the 80s. Now, in those days, when there was no, you know, the whole social media thing wasn't as bad, it was more acceptable. And nowadays, let's say, yeah, right, who's crazy? Who's trying to make money off of the Beatles? You know, so all of that. But in those days, thank God, it wasn't as bad as it is now. And so I actually had the nerve, with the encouragement of my husband, to write about John. It took a while to get the... the wherewithal to actually do something with it took a while. But once I started, I was pretty shocked at how the information just kind of flooded in. And every time I projected myself into, say, the astral plane, and I started getting all this really cool information. So that's kind of how it all got started.
All right. And... first time that you entered the realms of heaven, let's say, the first person that you met there was not John. It was a character by the name of Basil, who becomes very instrumental in the whole contact.
Yeah. Now, Basil, dear Basil, is actually he was actually a person that I met in Amsterdam at a huge, enormous gathering. He gave this enormous reading and healing in Amsterdam. I can't think of quite the year, probably 78. And I met him. I got pushed up to meet him. He was an amazing psychic and healer. My students, and who just happened to be there at the time, people I'd worked with, just pushed me up, and he took my hand and he said, "You're doing great work. I'd like to, I'll help you. If just ask for me and I'll be there." That was in the late 70s, and he helped me tremendously with these amazing healings, and I won't go into that, but he became my main guide for my school that I started in the 80s with my husband. And he was someone that I always asked for help from in writing curriculum and in teaching the students. And then, so he, I believe, as far as I know, I already named him Basil. And I don't know what year he actually passed over, he died, but he became the main person helping me, not only to teach and to heal, but also to write the story. So I was very amused when I went to this other place, and there he was waiting for me, giving me a hard time, because I was too insecure to actually own up to my experiences, you know, having John around. So he really, he egged me on and gave me a hard time in a loving way to have the courage and the self-confidence to talk to John.
Then on one of your trips to heaven, all of a sudden this Liverpoolian,
right.
I don't know.
There he is, yeah.
And right, there he is. Would you tell us about a little bit about that first encounter?
Well, I mean, it still is. I mean, it sounds funny, but after all these years, it's still kind of, I guess I'm that kind of person, difficult to believe that I was actually talking to John Lennon, but there was too many things happened with him that I had to start saying, okay, I'm actually talking to John Lennon. And so when the first time I saw John, I was, of course, nervous and feeling very insecure about it. And
a bit intimidated.
And then he gave me a hard time as well, just like Basil.
A bit intimidated?
Oh, of course. I mean, God, who talks to a deceased Beatle? I mean, to me, that was very, almost crass, you know, like, I mean, because, and I've seen afterwards, of course, many people thought, you know, I'm just like trying to cash in on a Beatle, but in fact, that still is a problem. You know, I mean, it still makes it hard for me to go out into the world and say, yeah, you know, I talked to John Lennon, but that happened, so I have to live with it, I have to deal with it, and it continued to change my life, obviously.